I was born on Easter morning. I can't remember what time. I don't think I knew what time it was. And now mom is gone. I can't ask her. I've asked her so many times. I forgot. Mari, my brother, was born in March, and he was born on Easter. My oldest sister was born on Christmas. And Kate, my other sister, was born on Good Friday. I'm not sure what all that means or if it means anything. But far as I know, I missed church that first Easter. I'm not sure, but I'm not sure if I ever missed another Easter. I might have. I just don't remember. So that's like 69 messages. I don't know how many Easters I've preached. And it's one of the most powerful, I mean, it's awesome. And there's so many things, you know, for a lot of pastors, Easter is one of those things, you know. My friend once called up John Maxwell and a couple other guys, give me your best Easter message. What's your best Easter message? And I think Maxwell finally told him, my friend, he said, use my message. It's way better because I took all the best of them, all the rest, and combined them together. So just use mine. And I always just thought that's kind of interesting. But there's so many things that could be said about the death and resurrection of Christ and the miracles that took place. But, you know, the two big celebrations we do now as Christians is Christmas and Easter. And my question to you is, did God ordain Christmas and Easter? Now, let's back up a little bit. God did ordain many festivals and celebrations in the Old Testament. One of the things he did, he ordained the Sabbath, that there'd be a day of rest. He ordained a Passover, which is actually, the word for Easter for us actually comes from a German background, and it's a goddess myth is where the name comes from, springtime or something. But in other languages, like Spanish and all those, the word for Easter is the word for Passover. and God ordained those things. He ordained unleavened bread, which means they had to be moving fast. They didn't have time for the bread to rise. He ordained the celebration of the first fruits, which is the Sunday after Passover, which is, I'll just say this, it's interesting that Jesus is referred to as the first fruit. The first one to be born again. And what was the purpose of those festivals? And why did God have us do those things? Just like we're going to do communion here a little bit, and the big question is, what do we do it for? What's the reason? A lot of people do a lot of things and don't always know just exactly why. Let me read this scripture to you. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So one of the things we got to be aware of is sometimes just what we're doing that was just presented to us through tradition, etc. So I always like to sometimes just stop and say, okay, we're doing this. It's a grand thing. Easter's pretty cool because people dress up. It's springtime. Everybody likes that, you know. By the way, the bunnies and the eggs, you ever wonder where they came from? Well, it was kind of through that German goddess thing how that kind of got mixed in. Easter was established about the first century. It didn't start right away, and then about another century they got together and decided what day they would pick for it, and all that took place. So So we need to be kind of aware, but, you know, again, what was the purpose of the Passover? What was the purpose of all these festivals? And one of the purposes, I think, is that they were foretelling what was going to come. The Bible says all these things that we did in the Old Testament were types and shadows of the real thing to come. And so as the people celebrated the Passover, they remembered how God delivered them, but they also remembered that there's going to be a Savior, a deliverer, someone is coming. And so all these celebrations were prophesying about Jesus coming. They were looking forward to Jesus coming. They were anticipating that. And then Jesus did come. And we know the story that he died. And I think one of the biggest things for me is, personally, is that to recognize that Jesus really did die. He's dead. Dead. Now, some actually argue this, and you know, and some don't think he even died physically, but I believe he did. He died. I believe that he went to the grave. He took everything on himself of condemnation and guilt and shame and sickness and disease, went to the grave and died. And Satan thought he won. But Jesus, from Scripture we know, he was counting on the Spirit of God. He was in faith, trusting that the Spirit of God would bring him back to life. And he is now the firstborn of many. And then you and I are in that list someplace. Someplace we got a number. It's an incredible thing. As they look forward to seeing Jesus come to the earth, and the Bible says at the right time he came and was a savior of all mankind, on the cross he said, "It is finished." And part of that means it just says, it's a kind of a Greek word, teleos, comes from the word teleos, of something that starts and has a completion. And I believe all those festivals, all those things that the Jews did foretelling about Jesus coming were finished. The Sabbath was finished. Before, you know, because now he says, now we can actually, the Sabbath is about God resting from his works, and now we can actually enter into the rest where we rest from our works and simply enjoy our rebirth. We don't have to work for it. It was a gift to us. And all those other things were satisfied. So my question now is, they served their purpose. In the Old Testament, all those festivals served their purpose. There's some people who want to go back and do the festivals again and do all that, and I guess that's okay if you want to, but in some ways, what's the purpose? The purpose was to present to the people what was going to come and have their hopes up and have their prayers up and get ready for it, and then it was completed. Now, let's go to Easter and Christmas. Isn't it interesting? We celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus. But I personally think Easter should be his celebration for birth. Because he died. The Bible says, "This day I have begotten you." I personally think that's the day he rose from the dead, not the day he was in a manger. That Jesus died. I believe he's a brand new creation when he came up out of that grave. I believe he talks about, "Father, restore me back to the relationship we had before." And God did. But I believe Jesus he's in a body now that, remember after he rose from the dead? He said, "Hey, take a look at the holes. Take a look at the..." That's not quite the same body he had back as Jody was reading, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And I know there's a lot of questions here, but that's kind of what I like to do, is stir up questions in people. So I'm asking you, did God ordain Christmas and Easter? Or did men? And either way, what's the purpose? Why should we celebrate it? And one of the things that is very good about something is it's always good to put yourself in remembrance, isn't it? It's always good to have a party. It's always good to have a birthday. Frankly, we have too many birthdays in March and April. It's like all of us are born about this time, and so we've been partying like crazy. But it's good. Well, what's the purpose? And we just sang a song that's pretty precious to me, "The Old Rugged Cross." and says, I will cling to the old rugged cross. But you know, there's also a place to get up from the cross. The resurrection of Jesus is history. It's not something we're looking forward to like the Old Testament people did. It's history. It's finished. It's done. He did die on that cross, and it is precious. But it's all about he did rise. Several of you, when you came in, you said, he's risen! How many remember that first time that song came out, he's alive, and I'm forgiven? So let me read you this. Jesus, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He rose with power. Let me read this to you. Paul wrote this to the Philippians. He goes, Philippians. Them too. And to Americans. Paul said it this way, that I may know him. The word know, we've talked about that, is the Greek word gnoskos. And it means to recognize, it means to acknowledge, it means to understand, but it also means to be intimate. It's the same way as carnal knowledge about a man and woman being together. It's the same connotation. It's to be experienced. It's to be very close and intimate, become one. He says, that I may know him. But then it goes on. And the power. It's not just enough to know about Jesus rose from the dead. It's also the fact, do you know, are you intimate, or have you experienced the power? I'll read on. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So today I just want to say, it's great to say he's risen. It's great to remember it. It's great to celebrate it. But what would Jesus really want out of you today? I'm just going to be presumptuous here. But if I was Jesus, and I paid that ultimate price of being separated from my Father, put myself in a fleshly body rather than being free, and then trusted in my Heavenly Father to restore me, and then experience that incredible, miraculous power of the Holy Spirit that brought him up out of that grave and made him alive, so that you and I could be alive. If you just celebrated, if I was Jesus and you were just celebrating and shouting, he's arisen, he's arisen, he's alive, hallelujah. My sins are forgiven, hallelujah. That's great. But if I was him and I paid that high price, I'd say, enough. I did it. It's finished. It's over. It's history. It's not clinging to the old rugged cross now. It's that you may know me and the power that raised me from the dead. And that's what I want you to walk in, is that I want you to know you're forgiven, but I want you to know more importantly that forgiveness of your sins qualified you now to receive the same power that raised me from the dead. dwells inside of you now. Go. Use it. Win with it. Take authority with it. Beat the things that are coming against you. Defeat the temptations. We all have them. So this Easter, when we walk out of here, thank God that he's risen. But thank God that you have risen. It's your resurrection day. His was 2,000 years ago. Ours is right now at hand. Every day we can walk in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. We're not waiting like the Old Testament people. We're not celebrating something that will come someday. I know we're going to celebrate that Jesus will come someday, but the truth is right now we are now the children of God. And the power that raised Jesus from that grave is the power, and Romans 8:11 says, it works within you. You know what really would make God happy today? Us believing that. Without faith, it's impossible to believe him. Thank you, Jesus, for my resurrection. And by the way, it kind of fits that within a few weeks, our old building is going to be resurrected. Hallelujah. Those are small, nice things. It's okay to celebrate Christmas, Easter. But what we really want to do is live by the power that works mightily within us. Amen.